Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. And we just want to wish you such a warm welcome on this beautiful, beautiful evening. And we just pray that you've had a wonderful day and that it's been really good week for you all. You know what? We are just hoping our cats are going to be nice and relaxed this evening in studio because we took their little bed away. And so now they have to find somewhere else to relax. And they are just running around studio like they have nothing else to do, Yosef, because it's the coffee break. So they're feeling excited, and I hope that you're excited as well. It has been super cold today.
That's right.
It's amazing. All that beautiful snow that's sitting up on the mountain right here that we can look at. And that really explains the feeling of this coldness, Yosef. It's been like so cold, and then going out today, driving down the road, looking up and going, oh my goodness, there's so much snow here, no wonder it's been so cold. And so I hope that you are all so warm and super warm this evening. You got something warm as we settle down into the coffee break and have a really great time together. And Yosef, I want to say welcome to you to the coffee break. I know that you have a really bad ear infection at the moment, and so if I have to scream really loudly across to Yosef, you know why. Because he can't hear in his one ear. And that has been quite a funny reality, because often we will talk to each other from different places in the house and he can hear, now he can't hear anything. So Yosef, I hope you can hear me loud and clear tonight. How are you doing? I hope that you've had a great time. You know, I know the last few weeks that we haven't been on coffee break has been quite busy and stuff. So how have you been? What's been up? What's happening? And I hope you're feeling good tonight.
Thank you. You know, Aaliyah, I'm so glad that we're back on the coffee break. It's been a great time that we've been away from it, but I always miss it. And I know that there's many of, you know, the people listening this evening too that also miss it. And it's always been a great time. It's been a time where we can just fellowship and be together. And, you know, this evening, I know that we're going to be talking about important things, but at the same time, I just really want to, you know, just put it out there and find out how is everyone doing. You know, I know that throughout around the globe, like Aaliyah said, there's many different things that have been happening. We've all been coming out of this whole, you know, COVID-19 thing. Things have been changing around the world. But at that point too, I also believe that the Father is doing, you know, great things in the lives of people, and there's great stories and there's great excitement within the people of Yeshua at this moment. So, you know, I hope that you that is listening this evening, that you've had a wonderful time, that, you know, even though we haven't been on air in that, I know that Yahweh is with us wherever we are. And you know, Aaliyah, it's so funny because you were saying how cold it is here this evening. And I'm just thinking about, you know, how hot it must be in the States and in other places where people are at the moment. So no matter where we are, you know, no matter what season you're in, I pray this evening that the fire of Yahweh will be with you and that He will speak to your heart and that He will really just share with you. So as Aaliyah said, busy times, we've been doing a lot of things and continuing just to, you know, keep the ministry and continue doing what the Father lays on our hearts. Even though it's been tough sometimes not being able to go out and meet and be around others, Yahweh still, you know, He still moves. No matter whether borders are closed or we can't go places or go to different countries, Yahweh still moves and Yahweh still does great and wonderful things. And I'm excited for when these restrictions are eventually, you know, lowered and we can go and do more and do things in other places and see what the Father has been doing in other places. So this evening, I want to just say hello to every single one of you and welcome to the coffee break. And Aaliyah, I know this evening that we're going to be chatting about, you know, something that's very important. This is now a great time that we're also going to be moving into very soon with the new, you know, the festivals coming. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the festival. The festival is always a great time. I think the festivals is something that we always look forward to, but it shouldn't just be, hey, you know what, let's look forward to X, Y, and Z of these festivals. We should always be living as if every day is like a day set apart unto Yahweh. We should really be living like that.
I've really felt the the missing of that this year. I must be honest with you. I feel though, you know, I don't know. I guess everybody has a different feeling, and maybe people listening tonight are also thinking about what they've missed this year. And I can truly say, you know, that Yahweh is doing amazing things. We know that. I do sense though, have that feeling inside myself of just missing that fellowship. And I think I truly do believe that physical fellowship, physical being together, you know, camps for conferences, for festivals, it's really been taken from us this year. And I really do think that that hasn't been such a positive thing this year. You know, there is something so special about collective worship. There's something so special about being all together collectively and truly being in a space where we worship Yahweh, and something happens in those moments and in that space, you know, and everything has moved basically to what we're doing tonight. It's become a virtual world. And this is beautiful because we're still connecting, we're still sharing the word, and we can still pray for each other. But there's just an outpouring. You know, Yeshua says, "We're two or more gathered in my name, there I am." And yes, we know that he is with us now because we are two or more and we are together. But there's nothing that can take away that physical gathering. And I believe that that's why Yahweh said in Leviticus 23 that there were to be those pilgrimage times. It wasn't just about, you know, going up to Jerusalem to offer those sacrifices, but it was about going up to Jerusalem to offer that worship. And imagine how beautiful it was, Yosef, you know, at Sukkot in the time of Yeshua, Second Temple, you know, times where everybody went up to Jerusalem for that feast. And there were sukkahs like everywhere, you know, the whole place was just basically one big sukkah, you would say. And everybody was in their sukkah, and people walking by, you would stop and you would gather and you would talk, and you would just, even though you didn't know each other, it must have been such a special time. Mm-hmm. You know, you would be sharing the fruits, you would be sharing your agricultural, you know, offerings that you had bought. You would offer this at Yahweh's temple, and then you would also have that which you would share among family and friends. What a beautiful reality. And I'm not necessarily a person that goes to conferences a lot, in the sense of like, just, I'm not a person that goes to just go and sit there. So I'm not saying this as someone that actually goes to conferences a lot, but as somebody who loves to be with other people in the presence of Yeshua, I've really felt that missing this year. And I really feel like that was taken away from us, but I really do just trust and believe that Yahweh, you know, will increase that in the years to come and will give us what we missed and lacked this year. That my prayer really, really is that he will give us a double portion. Mm-hmm. That if we were supposed to have, and I'm not just talking about us, I'm talking for everybody. If we were supposed to have several gatherings this year, I pray that Yahweh would give us 14 next year, you know, or the year after, for all of us, you know, for every single child of Yahweh that has missed that collective worship. And what we would say, a collective anointing as well. Yahweh's presence just coming down when we are worshiping. And I pray that what we have experienced this year in lacking that, I pray that it would give us a greater hunger. And if maybe you haven't thought about it before, I want to encourage you to think about whether or not you have missed that collective gathering. And if you haven't, it's perfectly fine, you know. But if you have, let our prayer just be that we can gather soon, and that when we do, we will have such a hunger. We will have such a greater hunger because this was taken away from us.
You know, I was just thinking while you were talking exactly that, you know, that this should create in us a more or deeper hunger for the presence of the Father. You know, having been, you know, it's one thing to be far from one another just because of distance, but it's another thing having this pandemic and what's been going on and not being able to at all come together. And you know, it should really create in us this hunger and this desire now more than ever for the presence of the King, knowing that our time is short, knowing that things are changing, knowing that, you know, when we do come together, there should be this lack of barriers, this lack of, or this total destruction almost of barriers. And we should come together now with this fire and this zeal. And I pray that when that happens, that there will be a change in every single one of us, that, you know, that this will really, as we said before, creating us this deep desire for more of our King, and more of that fellowship that comes from being together. So Aaliyah, I want to pray this evening, and then I want us to, you know, just discuss a little bit. And I want to, when after I prayed, I also want to ask you, you know, I know there's a lot of things that are going on right now in your life. There's a lot of things that the Father's doing despite all this that's happening. And I want us to touch on that a little bit this evening too, because it's important for us to know what the Father's doing and to rejoice in those things. And as a community, it's good that we know where things are going, and also, you know, what's happening with the ministry and what's happening with you and myself. So let's pray. Father, we want to give you praise and we want to give you glory. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, that Father, you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, this evening, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua over every single person that is joining us. Father, wherever they might find themselves, whatever season they are in right now, Father, I pray that you will draw them to your heart. And Father, that this evening, as they are here fellowshipping with us, as we as a family, Father, are coming together, Father, that you will take your rightful place and that you will minister to each and every person's heart. Father, we pray, Yahweh, as your word says, that you will inhabit the praises of your people. And Father, that you will speak to our heart. As we get ready, Father, for these feasts that are coming, Father, I pray, Yahweh, that you will minister to our hearts. Father, that we will not lose hope in this place that we find ourselves in, but instead, Father, that this will drive us forward with greater zeal, greater passion, Father, and a deeper desire to see the presence of our King burning in our lives, in our cities, in our communities, in our nations, Father, and all around, that the world may know, Father, that we serve the one true King, that He is the one, Father, that has set us free and can set them free too. So I pray this, Father, in the name of Yeshua, and we thank you for this time this evening. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed this time. Thank you, Father, that you make this time possible because of your grace and your mercy. And we give you all the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So Aaliyah, please tell us what's going on. I wanted to know, how's it going with your new book? I know that we spoke about it on the coffee break a few weeks ago, that you know that you've written a new book, a children's book, and that it's in the pipes, more so coming out the ends of the pipes. So I want to know, you know, tell us what's going on with that as what's been going on, you know, with the woman's side of the ministry too. I know there's a lot of things going on, so just let us know what's happening.
You know, when you said pipes, I had a picture of those angels. Was it the angels that John saw in the book of Revelation, or was someone, Ezekiel saw some angels with some pipes or something? I don't know. I was like, what is going on with these pipes? Hopefully it's good pipes. You know what, Yosef? Thank you. The book, yeah, it was necessary to be so fully immersed in trying to get the production side and the design side and the layout side and all of that to the finish line, which is very necessary. And anyone that's ever written a book will know it's quite a mammoth task. This a little bit, tiny little bit less, because it's a children's book, so it's not, you know, as long as Yehudit was or Shalom Zion. But with the children's book, obviously, you have the illustrations and everything. So, yes, the last few weeks were just about, you know, getting all the design work done, getting all the layout done, getting all the proofreading done. It's the less glamorous part of this whole story, and it takes a lot of time. So, yes, that is done, and I'm so grateful for that. And so now it's just working on just website stuff and media kits and getting, you know, and that's sort of what a publisher does. But, you know, COVID-19 has changed everything as well. And people need to realize that, you know, you sign with a publishing house. I'm not self-publishing, which is important to say. But COVID-19 has changed things, especially for the publishing world. Publishers are very, very specific about what they want to publish now. And then they also want, you know, their authors to have a greater determination to market and do things. So we've been working on a lot of that, and it's been really, really great and really, really fun. But you know what, Yosef, the other thing about this is with the women's ministry, just with myself as well, I've been reflecting and also working on some wonderful teachings for the women's ministry, and just the last teachings that I've released have been so amazing, because it's been more almost, I would say, reflecting on the history of the people of the Bible. When you look at someone like Drusilla and Bernice, people would say, wow, where do they come from? They mentioned in one verse in the book of Acts. And it's very, very important that we reflect on who these people were and how big their lives actually were historically. And we tend to forget, and it's something that I want to say tonight, we tend to forget that the Bible is also a history book. The Bible has informed a lot of our history that we understand about the ancient world, because, you know, with the ancient world, we don't know that much as what we should know, because it's the land that holds the secrets and the land and archaeology that holds the key. And for generations and generations, we have lost that because obviously, you know, people come and people go and villages get destroyed and new places are built. So the Bible has a place in history and it mentions specific people. And then some of them are just not known, but others of them are actually historically known. And so they have a place in history and it's very important. So that's been really great just to do some very deep teachings like that. And my new teaching coming out will is also very historical and very important. And then for me personally, just I have been doing a lot of talking, like speaking things, engagements, obviously all virtually. And yes, I've had to say no to some. But one that really, really impacted me was one I had on Tuesday. And that was where I was part of a panel of five different faith leaders, all Christians. And I was obviously the only Messianic there, but of different, you know, denominations. And then there was a group of 70 people that came from lots of different denominations, but all to discuss something that's been on my heart since I was 19 years old, and that is the response of Christianity and Bible-believing people to gender-based violence. And I've been asking this question since I was 19 years old, so that's very long, not that long, but quite long, as to why aren't our faith communities taking a bigger stand towards something like gender-based violence that's a huge pandemic in South Africa and in many places in the world. So this week, it was really impactful to me to have this 2 hours, to be on this panel, to just be facilitating this conversation between people saying this is their concerns, how do we tackle this, what's going to happen. And this is an important conversation that you and I have to be part of as well. You know, we can't just be, you know, people that teach the word but then withdraw from very hard conversations. And I find that a lot of people don't want to have difficult conversations. They don't want to have difficult conversations about difficult things. And we need to come around the table and say, this is what we've seen. This is the kinds of theology that is increasing abuse or hard times for women. And this is the kind of things that we have to look at. And it was such a life-giving conversation. And something, I mean, I did my master's degree on this very thing and graduated 7 years ago. And suddenly I can be part of a conversation all these years later. It's only happening now. So it's what Yahweh wants to happen. And I think, Yosef, we have to be part of the difficult things. And that's also a challenge I want to give tonight to everybody listening, is that, you know, we have this great faith. And we have this great Messiah. And his name is Yeshua. And he lived a certain way. And he lived this way that should inform our lives on what we should be doing and how we should deal with injustice and how we should deal with hurting and oppressed people. And we need to be part of those hard conversations and hopefully become people who, if someone else is hurting or oppressed, will come to us and say, you know, I see the hope that you have, or I see this light of life within you. And that light of life, you know, draws me towards, you know, wanting to come and share my story with you, even though I don't know what to do with my addiction or with my abuse or with my pain or with my trauma. And let that be our led prayer, that we can become those people, Yosef, that radiate that light and become that light. And one of the things that I want to throw out there to people listening tonight was something that I heard this week that I disagreed with. And I'm going to throw it out there and say to everybody listening, you know, if I said this to you, what would you think? You know, somebody this week said Yeshua was a safe place for people. Now, I've kind of gone quiet because I want you to think about that statement. I want you to think about the statement of Yeshua was a safe place for people. And It's a wonderful statement, you know, and if you think about it, you would probably say, yes, Yeshua is a safe space because, you know, maybe you feel safe with Yeshua or someone else feels safe with Yeshua because of we know the love of Yeshua. But I would like to go so far because some, you know, people were throwing that out this week saying that the answer to all kinds of abuse is Yeshua. And yes, I agree. And Yeshua is a safe space. But is Yeshua a safe space for a perpetrator of abuse, for example?
Exactly.
Was Yeshua safe to people when he was walking around? No, Yeshua was not, in the sense that, was he safe to the Pharisees?
No.
Was he safe to the Sadducees? Was he safe to the man that he healed by the pool, that he said, now go and do X, Y, and Z, and that man went and ran straight to the Pharisees and told on Yeshua, saying that, oh yeah, this guy, you know what he did? He made me do X, Y, and Z. Yeshua meets that man a second time, says to him, listen, I told you the first time to stop sinning. You're sinning again. Bad things are going to happen to you. You need to stop what you're doing. Did that man feel safe around Yeshua? No, he didn't. So only to certain people that are in a deep, intimate relationship with him do we feel safe. Not all of us are going to feel safe. Not everybody, not the religious, not the judgmental, not the broken, not the sinful, maybe don't feel safe around Yeshua. Not all of us are going to feel safe around Yeshua. That is why it is important that we have a deep, intimate relationship with him. You know, I believe that to the disciples that followed Yeshua, he was safe.
Amen.
Did the people that Yeshua said, hey, you know what, you guys only follow me because of what you can get from me, because of the food that I give you. Did they feel safe around Yeshua? They weren't drawn to him because they felt safe. They were drawn to him because of what they could get. When Yeshua turned around and said, hey, you brood of vipers, you liars, did those people feel safe around Yeshua? No. So Yosef, we've always got to be, and this hinges and this connects to what we're going to talk about tonight. And tonight we're really going to get into Elul, the month of Elul, this month that leads us to the feast. Do we feel safe with Yeshua? I'll be honest, for many, many years, I've been saved half my life, more than half my life. I would say for probably half of those years, I didn't feel safe around Yeshua. I was a person that really loved him and committed my life to him and gave everything to him. Such a sold out person. But yet, because of my family experiences of what a father was, for example, was really messed up. You know, my father is not a safe human being in the natural world. My earthly father is not safe. So I didn't feel safe around Yeshua. So was Yeshua safe to me? No, he wasn't. Yes, Yeshua was my Messiah and I knew that he loved me, but there was always a part of my heart that didn't feel completely safe around him. You know, if I do something that he doesn't like, what is he going to do to me? You know, if I make a mistake, what's going to happen to me? Or if I, and this is something that, this is, you see, this is how theology also affects us. Sometimes I used to think to myself, well, maybe if I innocently veer off the path that he has set for my life, he's just going to let me go. Because I've heard so many pastors and preachers and people teach that something like this, and it sounds something like this, where they say, you know, God's just going to let you go on your own way. If you want to choose your own will and your own path, God's going to just let you go. He's just going to let you go. And you know what? You're going to be so far from him, you're not even going to be able to hear his voice. And I've heard people say that. And I've heard us preach that hard messages where we go, yes, he's just going to let you go. He's going to let you go to your own will and it's going to be to your own demise, just like he did to Israel. And sure, there is truth in that, you know, that willful, stubborn rebelliousness. But what about the innocence of sometimes not always hearing the Father's voice clearly because he's just not talking to you, or, you know, it's, you're just not in that space? He's not just going to let you go. I don't believe he's just going to let you go. And so if we just hold on to that thing of, he's just going to let me go, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if I'm not completely 100% exactly where I need to be? You begin to be fearful and the Father's not safe, because what kind of person is just going to let you go? You know, I mean, even in marriage, there's times where you make mistakes and things happen. But you don't just let the other person go. You believe in the other person. You support them. You hold them accountable. You call them out. And so do we feel safe around Yeshua? And that's something that I want to say to you tonight. There was something that I had to ask myself. You know, I realized the Father brought me to a point of saying, you know, you don't feel safe around me. And it's okay. I understand why you feel that way. But let's go to that place. Let's go to that place together. Let's journey to that place. And that's hard. You know, you got to be vulnerable and open. But the truth is, we can't just say to somebody, yeah, Yeshua is a safe space. You know, we have to lead them to that point where they can get to an intimacy with the Father so that they can feel safe. And I think that this is part of, we now in this, we come to the end of a month that's called the month of Av, you know, and it's the time where it's a comforting, there was that time of comforting, but now we're going into this Elul time, where it's a time of illumination, and it's a time of reflection, and we're going to get deeper into that, you know, as we go along in the next little bit of this Elul time, but also what it would mean to us as we follow Yeshua.
You know, Ilya, you mentioned about, you know, the importance of a safe place, and you know, even in marriage, it's important. You know, you get married and in the beginning, you know, you feel in love and you're with the person. But sometimes even in marriage, it's a place where you have to learn and you have to become more intimate with the person in order to feel safer. And as you get more intimate and as you grow with that person, it becomes a safer and safer place. So it's important, I think, this evening that as we, you know, as we come back, we're going to go to a song. And when we come back, that we discuss and talk about this, because In the kingdom of the Father, he wants us to feel safe. But many times, I think, like you said too, that there's many of us walking around and we confess Yeshua with our mouths, but do we really feel safe? Do we really 100% in? You know, there was that old thing that we used to always do as children when you go to a camp where they used to say, "Do you trust somebody?" And then you had to fall backwards into someone's arms, and everybody always used to freak out thinking like, "Is this person really going to catch me?" But that's exactly how it is in the kingdom. And that's exactly how it is with the Father. As we get into a deeper relationship with him, more intimate with him, then we begin to be a person that is able to just fall back knowing that he's always going to be there to catch us. But it takes a lot, and it's a growing experience. So this evening, I want you to think about what we're discussing, and we're going to go to a song called Yes, I Will by Vertical Worship. And when we get back, we're going to start discussing a little bit about this month of Elul, as it's very important for us to understand.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.
Oh, I love that song. Welcome back to the coffee break. And you know what? Welcome to everybody that's just joined us. We cannot see names tonight. We are having a tiny little bit of difficulty and my iPad decided to go dead on me, which was partly my fault because I didn't charge it, but it's partly mm-hmm. the iPad's fault as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't see any names tonight, but welcome to you, those that we can see and those that we can't see. Welcome to you as well. You know what? It is a wonderful time. You know why it's a wonderful time, Yosef? Because we are going into a very, very special season, a very, very special month. This week, we will know that the new moon has come up. So it's roughly here out in Cape Town in South Africa. It's going to be on the 19th of August, which is Wednesday. And then that will start the count of a month towards Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And so it's so, so important that we, you know, look out for this moon. It's so important that we, you know, get into this month of Elul so that we know the times and the seasons, as it says in the Bible. We're going to know those times and seasons so that when this month is gone, we will be in those feasts. We will be in the fall feasts. I have to always think about this because we're going to be in spring and it's going to be
really confusing.
Fall up there.
I was going to say something this evening too and I was like, oh man, am I saying it right? Because it's different. Our seasons are different and so it gets confusing for us sometimes.
So do you think that Dania in the Southern Hemisphere, we lack unholy? Because Yahweh just forgot about us when he was, you know, handing out the Torah. He was like, those people down south, you know, I'm tired of them. Let's hope not. You know what? It's going to be, yes, fall feasts up there. So this is the month of Elul. And now a lot of things have been said about the month of Elul. We know traditionally the month of Elul is this time of introspection. It's this time of repentance. And it's traditionally always been this time of cleaning house. The Jewish people start sounding the shofar every single morning. So this is tradition. You know, every single morning throughout the month of Elul, they sound the shofar every morning, which is quite a cool practice. You know, it's quite a nice practice if you can do it, to sound that shofar every day.
Thank goodness they didn't ask me to do it because it wouldn't be a good sound every morning.
Brother Yosef, can you do the honors for us? And then you're like, no, they picked me. You know, you're probably the guy that's looking down, you know, like you were doing school when you didn't want the teacher to ask you a question, you're always looking down at your book and you know that they're going to ask you. So, you know, Elul's this month where sounding the shofar, doing this house cleaning, doing this introspection, but then also the Jewish people say, Yosef, they say, now I know that you have done an in-depth teaching about Moses having gone up the mountain several times.
That's right.
So the Jewish people believe that Moses' third trip happened during the month of Elul. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
So the third trip, do you know what he did on the third trip? You know, you did this teaching. Come on, Yosef. Well, on the third trip was when Moses had to cut out the stones. And the stones didn't have any writing on them. Because remember, you know, the stones had been broken. And then Yahweh said he had to create the stones. And then Yahweh would write on them. So this third trip was when, obviously, Moses went up. And he took these blank stones. And then they got written on. So that is what the Jewish people believe. That during this month of Elul, that's part of why it's so introspective. And why it's so traditionally deep to say, where am I in contrast to the Torah? Where am I in contrast to the Mosaic covenant? And I think that this is so important, Yosef, that we do a number of things during Elul. Now, I want to just take one little step back and say that although traditionally the Jewish people put this down as a time of introspection and a time of reflection and a time of drawing into how sinful am I and how deeply scarred and fragmented am I would like to say that this month of Elul could actually be a good month for all of us, because a lot of people probably would say, yeah, okay, but, you know, introspection and looking at ourselves is actually a good thing, and it is. But deeper than this, you know, while I was preparing for the coffee break, you know, the Father began to speak to me and said to me, we have a hope that, you know, Jewish people don't have. We have the Messiah.
Amen.
So instead of having to figure out, you know, are we sinful or not, we can say and come and say, well, not how is my internals with regards to sin, but how is my relationship with Yeshua? How am I in relation to that helmet of salvation that I wear? Now, that helmet of salvation, as we've said so many times, is not just about, you know, I'm saved or I have salvation, but it's really, really about, do I know my identity in Messiah Yeshua?
You know, Ilya, it's good that you brought that up. I think so many people get confused when they read about the armor and they read about, you know, the various parts of the armor, and they get to the helmet of salvation, and they immediately, because it says, you know, helmet of salvation, they immediately think to themselves, well, okay, so it's got to do with that you know, it's got to do with my salvation experience or the time of my conversion. But it's not, because Paul, when he writes it, he specifically puts those pieces of armor in their order for a reason, because there's a reason why he starts off with the belt, and he talks about the belt and the breastplate, and he talks about them in their actual you know, how do I say, in their sequence for a reason. Because the belt of truth and the belt that we put on, it's got to do with the fact that you cannot have the truth if you don't have salvation. So salvation comes in the beginning, and then we receive the truth. So when we read actually about the helmet of salvation in the original, and we're reading about it there at that point, obviously it's in the Greek, but it's talking about the assurance of what you already have, that assurance of knowing. So it's actually talking about the fact of knowing that you're an overcomer, knowing that you have the breastplate of righteousness on, you have all the other parts of the armor already given to you, and the helmet is given to you in remembrance of all the things that Yeshua has done for you. So it's kind of, it's there to assure you or reassure you against the schemes and the plans of the enemy that's now trying to destroy your mind. So your mind is the place where the battlefield is. And as a believer, we always are struggling with our minds. And that's why Paul's talking about it. And he says that put on that helmet, that reassurance, that conviction that you had at the time that you were saved, but now even more because you've walked with the Father. You've walked and you've had this relationship with him. And it's important for us to understand that. And not only that, but also to know that, you know, those parts of the armor and the things that is written about the armor, what it actually means. It's about putting on Yeshua. It's not just putting on, you know, this Roman soldier's armor. It's about putting on Yeshua. Every single piece of that armor is about what Paul writes, about taking off the garments of darkness and putting on the garments of light and putting on Yeshua, because our bodies have been crucified with him, and now we've been raised new. So it's important that we understand what that armor is all about.
And you know, Yosef, I think that sometimes, you know, there is a lot of truth to looking at ourselves, but for us who live according to the Spirit of Yahweh, and we need to live according to the Spirit of Yahweh every day, we need to have this ongoing conviction. You know, when we do something that is wrong in thought or deed, you know, anything or things that you say, we can have that conviction. We should be living by that conviction every day. So it shouldn't be that we get to this month of Elul and go, hey, I'm just going to introspect and I'm going to sort myself out and whatever. No, we need to break from tradition. And I know a lot of people love the tradition, and tradition is rich and it can be good and it is fruitful. But we need to see this through the lens and the kaleidoscope of who we are in Messiah Yeshua and what he has come to do for us. And so, you know what, you know, It's about, like you said, knowing who you are in him. And that's a big thing that you just said. Because one of the main areas where the enemy attacks us is in our identity in Messiah Yeshua. If he can get us to, you know, be a little bit wavering in our identity, and for example, that happens in many different ways, such as, has Yeshua really called you? You know, does Yeshua really love you? Can Yeshua really be trusted? You know, is this really the Father's will for your life? When the devil tries to get you thinking all of these things, it's in your mind. And the mind, like you said, is the battlefield, but it also gets you to think against your identity. And then you start to feel, well, uncertain about yourself. You lack confidence because you're wondering, am I really loved? Or did I really do the right thing? I know Yeshua told me to do that thing and I've done it, but now I don't feel good. You know, and it's just the enemy starts attacking you in your emotions as well, doubt and depression and all of those things, because he's actually hammering you on your identity in Messiah Yeshua. And your identity in Messiah Yeshua is, you know, that you are forgiven, that you are redeemed, that you are called, that you have a purpose, that you are living that purpose. And deeper so as we move into the inheritance covenant, that I'm actually living with power, I'm living with authority, I'm living with a power in Messiah that will change things in this world, because that's what he's called me to. You know, he's called me to be a true disciple. He's called me to that place. And so at this time, we should also be thinking about who Yeshua is and who we are in Yeshua. And not just regarding our forgiveness, because that's, you know, first covenant stuff. That's the entry point. And that's what I want to say tonight. You know, the entry point is the blood covenant. It's the first covenant. It's, yes, we got to sort our salvation out. We should have sorted that out long ago. So we don't have to continue to be revisiting that. We should be now moving deeper and saying, okay, where am I in the Mosaic covenant? Am I keeping the commandments of Yahweh? Am I keeping the word of Yahweh, the statutes of Yahweh? But more than, am I keeping them? Am I loving them? Mm. As Psalm 119 says, is this life-giving for me? And then moving into, you know, who am I really in Yeshua? Am I really, you know, operating as Yeshua will have me operate, with that fullness of his spirit, with the fullness of, you know, what he has called me to doing in whatever way that is and however that looks like?
You know, Leah, what you're saying is so important. We've spoken excessively over and over about the importance of those covenants. And we've always, you know, said to people, it's important that you listen to those teachings. But, you know, I want to throw something out there. You know, we said, you know, about the forgiveness and, you know, how people go back and they're always at that point. Or how it says in Hebrews that, you know, these are elementary things, you know, the beginnings of the washings and the cleansings and these things, you know, of your faith, that you need to move on to, you know, the solid things and the things that Yahweh wants us to kind of digest, the meat of your faith. But the question I want to throw out there this evening is, why is it then that so many people seem to continually struggle over and over? And when they come to a point in their walk or in their faith journey, it's almost as if they get to a point where it gets kind of, there's no more progression. I wouldn't say necessarily that they're fully going backwards. They're kind of just standing still, oftentimes just idling at a certain place and not seeming to go forward. And specifically, I've come to notice too that, you know, in the lives of many people, especially those that say that they confess Yeshua and keep his commandments, there's still this lack sometimes within the body of the spirit of Yahweh, and that identity is still missing. There's still this knowledge of saying, well, you know what, I know that I had this time where I was saved. I know that I'm keeping his commandments, but there's this lack of identity or the lack of the fire of Yahweh's spirit in their lives. There's this lack of transformation that takes place. And they get to a certain point, and then it's kind of like, it just stands still. And I have to question and ask myself why. And I pray and I ask the Father always, you know, what is that causes this? And I've come to realize that there's a lot of people, not only that came out of the church, but now that have followed, you know, the Messianic faith, or let's not even say the Messianic faith, following the instructions of Yahweh. And the instructions of Yahweh have become kind of like an idol in a sense. And it's become a point where that has become everything, and they've actually never really dealt with their conversion. So they're saying with their mouths that they're saved, but they have never truly had a Yahweh encounter at their conversion that has changed them. So they got saved, but something happened along the way that maybe doubt, like you said, or that safe place disappeared, or something happened where in their mind they were saying, well, you know what, I love Yahweh, I love Yeshua, I believe that I'm saved, but there was never a true transformation, like a Jacob moment, a time where there was this total change, a conversion like Paul, where he fell off his horse, where something really changed. So the commandments then have taken on a different meaning for them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of become a religious thing to them, and they say to themselves, I have to do this, otherwise I'm going to fall out of Yahweh's plan for my life. So we're doing it not because we love him or because we're in a deep, intimate relationship built on love. We're doing it out of fear, and we're doing it because we're scared that maybe we're going to fall away from the faith or things are going to get worse. So there's this thing that I've come to realize, that so many people today that are keeping the commandments of Yahweh, that are confessing Yeshua with their mouths, are lacking the fire and that intimacy and the growth that comes from that, because they haven't really gone back for a moment and said, Yahweh, deal with my heart, deal with the time that I got saved, deal with me as a person, and look inside of me and help me to know more about you. You know, that that Abrahamic covenant, Aaliyah, and that salvation experience and that time where we get saved, it isn't everything in our walk. It's the beginning of our walk. But if we haven't really taken care of that point and really had an encounter with Yahweh and with His Spirit at that moment, it's going to be very difficult as we go on. We're going to pick up so many different things along the way, and it's just going to become a religion instead of an intimate relationship with Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And it's so important now, in the time that we're living in, that we take a step backwards and ask Yahweh, you know, why am I struggling? Because He wants sons and daughters. He doesn't want children. He doesn't want just believers. He wants disciples made in His image. And that can only take place if the inception point, the time where we were reborn and where we changed, is really, really taking place in our lives. It has to be a total experience. And I don't even want to use the word experience. It has to be a total change at that point. Then and only then will the rest happen and will become a true son or daughter.
Mm. You know what, Joseph, this is so awesome, this fire that you are sharing with us this evening. And you know what, I truly believe that, you know, it goes beyond the month of Elul, goes through to every single point in our lives. But in this time as well, I think it's important that we battle and overcome by knowing who we are in Messiah Yeshua. We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Mm. And that's what it says in His word. And it says that we mustn't love our lives even unto death. And the truth is that knowing who we are, Messiah Yeshua, is absolutely key. Knowing our identity in Him, knowing that we are in that intimacy with Him, but also knowing who He is to us. But not just knowing who He is to us, but knowing who He is, full stop. And I think that that's also important to reflect now at this time of Elul on who am I in Messiah Yeshua? How am I in my relationship with Him? Who is He to me? But then reflecting on a larger picture, because, you know, it's so beautiful being in a relationship with Yeshua, because He reveals Himself to you in many, many different ways. You know, He reveals Himself as you know, as a savior. He reveals Himself as someone that loves you so much. But sometimes when we walk that walk, we can forget who Yeshua is, full stop. And this is who Yeshua is. And it's something that we should reflect on during this month. And it's finding Colossians chapter 1. And it says that Yeshua is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and He is supreme over all of creation. For through Him, Yahweh created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as the thrones, the kingdoms, the rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Yeshua is the head of His congregation, which is His body. He is the beginning. He is supreme over all who will rise from the dead. So He is first in absolutely everything. For Yahweh, in all of His fullness, was pleased to live in Yeshua. And through Him, Yahweh reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Yeshua's blood on the cross. And this includes you, who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Yeshua in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His very own presence, and you are now holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. But then it goes on to say, but then you must continue to believe this truth and to stand firmly in it. Do not drift away from the reassurance you received when you first heard the good news, because the good news has been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, have been appointed as Yahweh's servant to proclaim it. I think that those are such powerful words, finally, Colossians 1. Because they give us this image of who Yeshua is, and He is first over everything and supreme, and all things were created through Him and by Him and for Him, and absolutely everything exists because He is. And who He is this massive God who created absolutely everything. You know, I was reading this week about the Hubble telescope, and it was saying, the article said 30 years on and Hubble is still sending us images we've never seen, you know. And I was thinking, Hubble's been traveling outside, you know, in the Milky Way for 30 years, and we're still seeing images. Of course, we're still seeing images we've never seen before. And we're still seeing people, you know, being like, wow, look at what Hubble is capturing. And Yahweh created all of that, you know, and he's just holding it in the palm of his hand. And so I think that as well, that we need to expand our thinking often and realize that Yeshua is not just, you know, he doesn't just love me, and he's not just dealing with my problems, and he's not just helping me sort my life out, of which, you know, we often feel like, Yahweh, please just help us sort our life out. You know, he's not just so engaged in my life. Yes, he is, but he's also this amazing God. So we can reflect on his power and the might, and that can give us hope. Hope, especially in times when it's hard. Hope, especially in years when it's hard. Hope for, you know, the losses that we've had this year. Hope for what we will endure into the future, and hope for every single thing, because he is, you know, supreme. And I love it where it says there that I just read to you, that Yahweh was pleased to make the fullness of God dwell within Messiah Yeshua. How crazy is that? It feels like that emoticon, you know, where the little brain like goes boof like that. That's my favorite emoticon on the phone. Like your mind is just blown. And it's so incredible, because he is just all of those things. And Yosef, I want to end off tonight with saying, we need to know who we are in him. Mm-hmm. And we are in that amazing God. We are in Messiah Yeshua, who is first over everything, the firstborn of everybody that will rise, but also the firstborn of all creation, the supreme, you know, Abba Father, the supreme God over everything. With so many religions out there and so many things just vying for our attention, and so many earthly things that we can get caught up with, we need to know who Yeshua really is, but then grow into the fullness of who he is. Yahweh was pleased to have every part of himself dwell within Messiah Yeshua. And I pray that for us, that we will grow into not just the knowledge of who he is, but in truly who he is spiritually, so that we will be able to overcome and not allow the enemy to hit us on our helmet of salvation, of knowing who we are in him, but overcoming, you know, and having our minds renewed. And so I pray that the month of Elul will be a month of light. It is a light month. And traditionally, Psalm 27 is read throughout the month of Elul. And you know what's so special, even though it's a tradition and it's a Jewish tradition, you know, Psalm 27 tells them exactly what we should all know. It says that Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And that word for salvation is Yeshua. Yahweh is my light and he is my salvation. And in the Hebrew, it says Yeshua'i. So it's like this, my personal salvation. And even though they don't recognize it's Yeshua, we recognize that it is. And we are proclaiming that throughout this month. Psalm 27, that Yahweh is our light. He is our salvation. We do not need to fear anything. He's the light of our lives. Whom shall we fear? We're not going to fear, you know, the circumstances. We're not going to fear the rest of the year. We're definitely not going to fear the enemy. We're going to grow up into the fullness of who he has called us to be. And I pray that this month of Elul will be such a beautiful month for you, as it leads us to the feasts that are coming, Yom Teruah, our Feast of Trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement, where we again reflect on Yeshua. And then Sukkot, where we reflect on how it's going to be when we're with Yeshua at the marriage feast. May this time reignite a passion in our hearts for who Yeshua is and who we are in him. And so, Yosef, we're going to go to our final song called First Love. And do we want you to do the following? Yes, we do. We want you to put down your prayer request. If you have a prayer request tonight, anything, you can put it down. You have a few minutes. Please put it down during the song. Enjoy the song. When we get back, we'll pray together.
Before we go to the song, Aliyah, I just want to say thank you for sharing with us this evening about this important topic. I know I've been sitting here looking at you with like my ears with this infection, but I just want to say, you know, it's important. It's really, really important that we look into, you know, into ourselves, but also into Yeshua during this time, that we run into him, and that he be the one that shows us exactly where we're at and where he wants to take us. Mm. And I really, you know, when we started this evening, we mentioned and said, you know, that this is the time now more than ever where we need to be people that look at it and become hungry for what Yahweh is about to still do in our generation. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of what he has promised you. Don't lose sight of the things that he's told you. Be as Paul said to Timothy, wage war with the prophecies and the promises that Yahweh has given over your life. And remember that even though it feels like 2020 has been wiped out, it's just a period of time. Time is not in our hands, it's in His hands. So let us trust and believe that there are still greater things coming, that the latter rain will come, and that we will still see Yahweh do greater things in this generation. So let's play the song, and I, like Leah said, if you have any prayer requests, please leave your prayer requests and we'll pray for you. Shalom.
Sky were a blank page. Still I would run out of space. Tell of all this love. Forever will never be long enough to come to the end. Endless love, pour out songs like the oil from the widow's jar. If every leaf on the trees were the notes of a symphony, then every season would bring new songs the wind would sing. Forever will never be long enough to come to the end of an endless love. I pour out my songs like the oil from the widow. It'll never run dry. All the way back, all the way back, all the way back to my first love. All the way back, all the way back, all the way back to my first. Somehow earn this love, and the truth has been all along. Only have to fall. I wanna fall.
That was First Love, and it's such a great song. But we really want to get into a bit of a time of prayer, because we have seen those prayer requests and just really believe that it's important for us to pray together, and we are so blessed to be able to pray tonight. And so thank you so much for those prayer requests. And so, Yosef, I would like to ask if you could pray for us tonight.
Okay, let's do that. Father, we just want to thank you in the name of Yeshua, Father, for this great message, Father, that you've brought us. And Father, I want to pray that we will be people of intimacy, people, Father, that pray, people that seek your face, people, Father, that allow your Spirit to examine our hearts. Father, I'm reminded of that scripture where Paul says, examine and test to see if you are truly in the faith. Mm-hmm. And Father, this evening we want to pray, Father, that your Spirit, like a mighty fire, will move through our lives, Father, examining every single part of our hearts, every single part of our minds, Father, and that you will bring to the surface, Father, the places and the areas in our lives, Father, where we need to take stock of, where we need to look at, Father. And I pray that by your Spirit, Father, that you will help us, and that you will lead us, and that you will guide us. Father, this evening I want to thank you for every single person that has joined us. And Father, I want to lift up Sister Casey to you this evening, Father, and I want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, for not only strength, Father, but I pray, Father, that you, by your mighty hand, Father, will empower her and help her, Father. I pray, Yahweh, that the shoes of the readiness of the gospel, Father, will be firm upon her feet, and that she will be secure, Father, to stand firm. I'm reminded, Father, of how that scripture says, stand in Messiah Yeshua and do everything to stand. I pray, Father, that you will give her supernatural strength and the ability, Father, to stand firm and to be unwavering. I pray, Father, that you will speak to her like you have never spoken to her before in the days and the weeks, Father, that are coming. I pray, Yahweh, that you will minister to her heart and share with her, Father, in a mighty way, who she is in your kingdom and how important she is, Father, in your kingdom. And Father, that you will root her in the love of Messiah Yeshua, that when storms come, Father, when things come across her path, that she will maybe only bend, but she will never break. And I thank you for that, Father, and we bless you in Yeshua's name. Father, we also want to lift up Sister Jody to you, Father, and we really want to pray this evening, Father, as she has put out this request. Father, we know that at this time, Father, that her husband is not saved, and that it gets difficult, Father, and it gets hard. And Father, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua that you will continue, Father, to give Sister Jody the strength, Father, the patience and the words, Father, in difficult times. I pray, Father, that as she has asked and cried out, Yahweh, to help her to keep her path straight, Father, that her eyes will not be fixed on the situations, Father, but that her eyes will be fixed on you. And Father, that you will lead her, that you will guide her. Father, that in her weakness, that she will grab your hand, Father, as your word says, that Yahweh's hand is your portion and your strength. And I pray, Father, that she will always put her weak hand in your strong hand, and that you will lead her and that you will guide her. And Father, that you will work in the heart and in the life of her husband. I pray, Father, that your Spirit, Father, will be like a drill and continue, Father, to just drill into his heart on a daily basis, and that heart of stone will be turned into a heart of flesh in the days and the weeks to come, that there will be a true living testimony through that situation, Father, and we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Father, we just want to pray a blessing over each and every person, Father, and as we move into a new week, Father, we want to ask that you will lead us and guide us. We want to ask, Father, that everything that we do, Father, will always reflect your character and your will, Father, to the world around us. We pray, Father, that you will bless and keep every single person. Make your face to shine upon them, Father, and give them true shalom in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you all again on the coffee break tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And I really pray that you will, each and every single one of you, for you and your household, that you will have a Shavuot Tov, a wonderful week, a week of good things filled with amazing things that Abba Father is going to bless you so, so much. And so it's been good to be with you again. We will see you all next week. Take care. Shalom, shalom. Don't forget to pray for one another. Don't forget to pray for us as we pray for you. And may Yahweh just richly bless you and your family. So see you next week. Shalom, shalom.
All my life I longed to be a hero, with my sword raised high, running to the battle. I was gonna take giants down, be a man you would write about. Deep in my chest is the heart of a warrior, So why am I still standing here? Why am I still holding back from you? I hear you call me out into deeper waters, but I settled on the shallow end. So why am I still standing here? So afraid would it my cost to follow you? I'd walk by faith if I could get these feet to move. But I don't wanna live that way. I don't wanna look back someday on a life that never stepped across the line. So why am I still standing here? I'm so tired of standing here. What if I gave everything to you? What if I gave everything? What if I stopped holding? Say goodbye to standing here.